Hey guys, welcome to A Comedian's Guide to Autism. This is your host, Kirk Smith, Comedian's Guide to Autism. This is a podcast by two comedians who have family members in their life who are autistic. I am the father of a 17-year-old son who's severely autistic, and my co-host is Graham Kay, who has a brother who's 30, who is less severe on the spectrum. And yeah, and so we just talk about it, and Graham Kay is on hiatus this week. He is on the road and unreachable. So I know this is the second week. Last week we had a special episode, but next week we'll be back together doing our usual thing. Don't worry, the band hasn't broken up. We are still together. We're still doing this podcast together. As our regular listeners will know, we have a three segments in this podcast. The first segment is in the news. That's not right. I really need Graham Kay to set me straight. The first segment is the weekend review. That's the first segment. Weekend review. So this is this segment. Graham and I talk about what's going on in our lives. And this week, I can report that I've been in Edinburgh. I've been in Edinburgh for the last, what has it been, 10 days, 11 days? I did A Comedian's Guide to Autism, the comedy show. And we brought it here called Rice Krispies with Ketchup. We did a whole mini run here at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Before that, I was in Sweden visiting my son. His mom took a couple weeks off and traveled, and I was there watching my son. That was an exciting week. He was off for the summer, and so I guess I'll do that part first. He was off for the summer, and so it doesn't get dark really in Sweden in August, and so it gets darkish around 11:30, and then so it messes up his sleeping a little bit. He's never been a great sleeper, to be honest. He doesn't take after his dad that way. I don't want to brag, but I can really sleep with the best of them. But I had him in the summer. He was in summer school for a few hours a day, and then I would have him. My daughter was over there too, and so I had both the kids. It was fun. We had a lot of fun just horsing around and traveling around a little bit. And he's really gotten into sunglasses. That's what my son's into now, sunglasses. So his mom had warned me, so I brought him over half a dozen pairs of sunglasses. I will need to post those to the Autastic Podcastic Facebook page, him and his sunglasses. He's rocking the mustache and the sunglasses. He's got several different looks, from John Lennon to, what has he got? Those are the Ray-Ban look. He's doing good. He's doing good. We're excited about the next year and the possibilities, and still working with the iPad, still trying that, still just grinding away. His mom's building a place, a new apartment, and so our longtime listeners will know that we're looking into making that JJ proof, which is harder than it sounds, and so looked at that a little bit. It was just a great time, enjoyed spending time with my kids. And then I went to Edinburgh. I'm in Edinburgh now, leaving tomorrow in the morning. We had an 12-day run. It was a great experience. It was it was a lot of fun. It was, I don't know what I expected. This is the largest comedy festival in the world, so there are thousands of shows. I don't know what I expected. It's not exactly what I expected, but it was good. It was a good experience. I teamed up with several of the autism organizations here in Scotland, the Lothian Autism Society, I believe, and they've asked me to donate some books. So I'm donating some books to them so they can use them for some fundraising to sell them and fundraise. So that's great. I'm excited about that. And it was a great run. I tuned up the show a little bit from Perth, and then so I'm going to bring back a different show to Perth, I think, and Melbourne next year. And keep your ears open. I might be coming to a city near you. Should be good. I'm excited about that. It was a very humbling, a lot of hard work, and but I felt like it was a good first step out here in Edinburgh. All right, so longtime listeners know we have three segments. That was the first, which was our weekend review. Graham's weekend review he will do next week. I believe it's going to be involving him being on the road. Okay, so next is in the news. Beep, 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 beep. This is an article from Haaretz.com, HAARETZ.com. Israeli doctors to use cannabis to treat autism in first of its kind study. After some success in using substance to treat epileptics, researchers to check effects of cannabis oil on individuals with severe behavioral problems. As some of our listeners may know, there is a connection with some autistic, or a lot of autistic, severely autistic kids also suffer from seizures, epileptic seizures. My son's one of them. He had a really bad what's called grand mal, and where it's where you your eyes roll back and you lose control of your functions. You roll around the floor. It's quite scary, and you can get hurt. And so they're opining that there could be a connection. So the article says evidence that cannabinoids can help improve the quality of life of autistic people has, until now, been anecdotal. Sidebar here, I do have people that come up to me after the show and say they are trying cannabis oil. I have, I think I talked about this about 10 episodes ago. I talked to a family who said they were moving to Denver I think it's legal there, and so their kid is just becoming an adult. And I'm not judging them at all. I don't know if I would do that. It's a hard decision. You know, there's a lot of hard decisions in these, and it's easy to judge and say what you would do, but I'm not judging. I let them, you know, make those tough decisions on their own. So back to the article. Now an Israeli doctor is launching a formal clinical trial of medical cannabis among autistic children and teenagers. First of its kind. So doctor, I'm summarizing here. The process of obtaining permits, they're going to try it on males and females aged 4 to 30 who are defined as low to medium functioning. And as usual, when the cannabis is administered, the medical cannabis administered, participants will be given cannabis oils free of the intoxicating substance but rich on cannabinoids. If Graham was here, he'd make fun of me pronouncing this name, but cannabidiols. Okay, cannabidiols? One of the active chemicals found in cannabis. Basically, the autistic kids can't get high on this oil. They're just testing the oil and going to see how it works. Listen, I'm basically all for this. I am pretty straight edge. I'm not a drug guy at all. But if you want to try something like this, I'm not going to judge you for, you know, you want to get a solution, especially, you know, there's people that write us from time to time to talk about them being scared of their kid, you know, who's severely autistic and violent and nonverbal and trying to get through to them. That's a tough situation. And those things, you know, there's no easy solutions for that. And I applaud you for doing what you think's best and taking steps. Okay, so that brings us to the topic du jour, which is different points of view on quote-unquote solutions. So let me take you back to Friday night. I had an interesting situation with it was a full show. I believe that was the one that was full. We turned people away from that show. There were so many people. And right before I went in to perform, you know, and the Edinburgh Fringe where I'm at, you're on your own. I'm the host, MC, and headliner and everything. And so it's you know, you've got a lot going on. You're thinking about the sound. There's no sound guy, so you're doing that beforehand. You're doing your light check, your mic check, your whatever. So you got a lot going on. And I had a guy come up to me about 20 minutes before. And I was like, hey, I am autistic, and I do a comedy show here and at the Fringe. And I don't want to say the name of it because I don't want to talk about that part. But it was clear that he had in his mind that he had something to get off his chest, and he wanted to tell me something. He had a point he wanted to make, and basically about not finding a cure, that it was about preaching neural diversity, and that he had written a book, and as a performer, right before you get on stage, you're trying to clear your head, get in a good headspace, be positive. At least I am. It depends on what style you do, but that's what I'm trying to do. So when you have somebody that comes up to you right before and has a really strong point of view different than yours, and they really want you to hear it, it can be difficult because you don't necessarily want to be talked at right before you go on stage, and there's nothing you can do with that information. You can't rewrite your act right before you go up. You can't. So, you know, I was trying to be polite and listening, and then he was very perceptive. He said, you're about to go on stage. Well, is this, you know, are you preparing right now? I said, actually, to be honest, I am. Could we talk at the end of the show? Because right now I'm about to perform And he said, oh, okay, great, I'll watch. Which I was like, okay, well, you're not going to like it, but you're welcome to watch if you want. Anyway, so I went in, and it was just a great show. They were just into it. It was a lot of fun. The people got the jokes. You know, British people can be a little austere and a little, you know, I say more than once, I say, listen, if you like that joke, you don't have to laugh. Just uncross your arms. A lot of crossed arms in general. But this was a great crowd. They were really into it. And it was a lot of fun. And anyhow, after the show, this guy came up to me and was like, listen, that was really great. And I totally had you wrong. It's not the same voice I hear in the podcast. In the podcast, you know, it comes across a certain way, and it's not that way at all. You're inclusive. And I didn't know what to say. You know, the podcast is clearly me. So I was like, well, you know, I'm just smiling. Well, I don't know what to say. He's like, well, you know, to be honest, I think I'm projecting onto that. I think I'm projecting onto that podcast things that I've heard over the year, what I thought you might say. And I thought, wow, I thought that's very perceptive, very interesting, because, yeah, I don't think I was exactly where he thought. And he said, yeah, I thought you were going to, you know, be preachy, but it's not. It's very, you know, you're giving your point of view. And, you know, I give this little disclaimer in this act. I was talking to people. I said, listen, this is a comedian's guide to autism. This is based on my experience raising a what's now 17-year-old severely autistic boy. I'm not a scientist. You know, I'm not an educator. I don't know anything. I'm just telling you my experience. And here are the stories and the jokes. And so if this isn't your experience, this is not an indictment on your life or what you're going through. This is just my experience. And so anyway, he loved the show. And you know, from his point of view, he was coming at it like, you know, there doesn't need to be a cure, and there doesn't need to be, he doesn't like the labeling. And he had some points. But, you know, and I've said this before on the podcast, I don't feel strongly about the labeling, you know. I feel like my son needs help and he needs resources, and we can bicker about what we want to call different things, but the reality is he needs help, and let's focus on getting the resources and the help, and then later on we can fight amongst ourselves, but let's not fight about it now. Let's team up and really try to get help to people that need help, you know. And this man's experience was vastly different. Yeah, he was autistic, but he also wrote a book, and he also is reading books, and he's also, you know, doing a show. Well, my son's not doing those things, let alone writing. He's not even reading. So until he gets to that point, my focus is on trying to get those resources and get him up to speed and get him independent and a productive citizen. And then we can nitpick with each other and divide and yeah. But for now, let's focus on that. So that was Friday. That was the... Now, I should add Sunday. Sunday was a much different show. Sunday, I had to kick people out. There were people, you know, listen, the show is in Scotland. Scotland, let me give you, it's 11 o'clock at night. I get done at midnight. Tuesday, I got done with the show. Some girl, there's a guy kind of jogging down the street laughing, and his girlfriend's chasing him. They're playing. Her shirt flies open. She's running around topless. And I'm trying to make my way past her. She jumps on me, and then the boyfriend's right there, and I think he's going to be upset or so. I don't know what's happening. He's like, where's the train station? And then she jumps off me and keeps running. It was like, that was Scotland. Like, people just, there's a lot of very educated, you know, Edinburgh is a center of learning. It's been a center of learning for 1,000 years, but there are people like to drink here too. So there's people like that at shows. So I had you know, the 11 o'clock show, it's probably too late. Next time I come back here, I'll do a 7 o'clock show for a clean show about autism. That's probably a better time. Well, there's a group of four guys who had too much to drink before the show. And I tried, to be honest, to talk them into not coming in to begin with when I'm at the door. But, you know, there's no doorman. It's just me. And here you're the, what my show was, I was the headliner and the MC and the host and the light guy and the sound guy and everything. So I tried to talk him into the beginning. I said, maybe this isn't for you. This is a clean show about autism and my experience. And, you know, it's not, there's no fart jokes. There's no penis jokes. So anyway, they didn't go for it. Well, a third of the way through my show, I ended up having to kick them out because they wouldn't be quiet. And the audience was happy when I kicked them out and the show recovered. The last 30 minutes were great. Lesson was, I should have kicked them out sooner. But that was the yin to the yang for the week. So if the good part of the week was Friday I had a great show where I made a friend of an autistic person who has a show that initially felt like was opposing mine. In the end, I felt like we had more in common than he realized. And then the opposite was I had to kick these ding-dongs out of my show because they wouldn't be quiet. And would kept stepping over my punchlines. So that was, that was the two extremes I had this week. So that was our topic du jour, talking about the different sides that we can review. Was my week in Edinburgh during the Fringe Festival, and before that, 10 days with my son in Scotland, or a little longer, in Sweden, excuse me. Next week, guys, I hope to be back with the very, very funny Graham K. It's not the same without him. I miss him, you know? There's just something about having the banter of the two of us, the competing points of view. I like it. And, as I almost forgot, like us on Facebook. It's Autastic Podcast on Facebook.com. Follow me at Kirk Smith Comedy on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, all of it. And Graham K. Comedy, same thing. Twitter, Snapchat, Insta, all those things. Also, if you'd like to support this podcast, you can support it on patreon.com/autastic. That's patreon.com/autastic. Even $1 an episode helps us keep this thing moving. We appreciate it. Thank you so much, guys. You can do it. That's it for this week, guys. Short episode. I love you guys. You can do it. Be encouraged. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do this. You can do this. It's just life. We can do this, guys. Have a great week.